Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Laura W. from South Jersey, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Today is Thursday, February 23rd, 2023. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 63, the second paragraph, starting with, "We were now at step three," ending with, "At last, abandon ourselves utterly to him," reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, thank you for your service, the 12 Steps, Denise D., the 12 Traditions, Karen W., reader of the text, Betsy H., Robin P., reading 164, Jody E. as our backup, and Carla C. is our newcomer greeter, and Reggie O. will be doing announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, February 22nd, 2023, the 10 a.m. meeting is 19,989. That's 19989. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, Thursday, February 23rd, the reference number is 19,991. That's 19991. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Denise D. to please read the 12 Steps of OA. Denise, please press star 1 on your phone to unmute. Denise D., we're not hearing you. Please press star 1. Jody E., are you available to read the 12 steps as our backup?
Yeah.
Is that Denise?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Jody. Thank you.
Okay. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, number 1. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct demands to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Jody. Thanks for stepping in. I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning. Thank you, Laura. This is Karen W. from Long Island, New York. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, each OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for the opportunity to do service, and I pass.
Thanks, Karen W. Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing with what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And please don't use speakerphone, as it does interfere with the recording a bit. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 63, the second paragraph, starting with, we were now at step 3, ending with, at last abandon ourselves utterly to him, reading that one paragraph only. I will now ask Betsy H. to begin our reading. Betsy?
Hi, this is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader, California. We were now at step 3. Many of us said to our Maker as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking the step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. This is such a powerful prayer. We're at step 3. And I love that we get to do this prayer to our higher power as we understand our higher power, and it's in italics, as we understood him. Or it could be her, of course. We don't have to worry about anyone else's idea of a higher power. We could just do this prayer to how we have our higher power makes sense to us. And this prayer talks about, you know, it's asking my higher power to relieve me of my problems, my difficulties, the bondage of self. But it's not just only for me. It's so that I can better do higher power's will. It's so that if I over, when I overcome my problems, that victory over my problems can be an example to others and can help others. I think even just being in recovery today, even if I haven't found, you know, haven't gone to and found a new potential OA member and 12-step them, you know, even just being here, being in recovery, you know, talking to other OAs, coming to meetings, being of service, even that is, at some level, I think is helping other people because we're being an example of recovery. And this is a powerful prayer. I heard one person say, and this is one person's point of view, but I kind of liked it, that, you know, when she took the third step prayer, it's like she enlisted in God's army of light, and that now, you know, she's taken her orders from her higher power. She's not just, you know, trying to make it, do everything on her own, make all her decisions on her own. And this makes sense to me because I tried to do things on my own power for so many years, and objectively it was a disaster. You know, I just couldn't control the food, the weight, my craziness, my resentments, my fears. But so I need to grab onto a power that is more intelligent than me, more loving, more omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. And it makes life a lot easier when you get that higher power flowing in. And that's what I need so that I don't have to overeat today, so that I can live a sane and more positive life today in recovery. One thing about step three, it's so powerful, but remember, it's not a three-step program. It is a 12-step program. And step three is something we can practice every day.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Betsy H., for getting us started. And now we are going to open up the line for sharing. But before I do so, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on any Vision for You meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, please step back and let other voices be heard. I will take. I'll begin taking names. Please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and the state your call, state or area you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Wendy B. in California.
Ooh, sorry, I didn't get anybody.
Joanne.
Wendy B. in Arizona.
Okay, I got Wendy in Arizona.
Sharon.
Joanne B.
I got Sharon and Joanne. I didn't get initials or locations, but we'll get those when you
are. Roz in Los Angeles.
Roz.
Liz.
Dawn B.
Dawn B. And I'll take one more in this lineup.
Liz A.
Liz A. Great. Gotcha. Thank you. We've got a great lineup. I have Wendy B., Sharon, Joanne, Roz, Dawn B., and Liz A. So please give us your initial of your last name and the state you're calling from when you're called. Wendy, followed by Sharon. Go ahead, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And this morning I'm relating to the line that says, take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. And that could be like a confusing statement. You know, before recovery, I would think that means, you know, take away anything that makes me uncomfortable, take away any roadblocks that are in the way of me accomplishing my will, change everyone around me so that anyone that's making my life miserable or difficult, you know, I just want everything to be easy and smooth with no problems. You know, I want everyone to agree with my way of thinking and to cooperate with my plan. And, you know, the sentence right before that says it all, you know, relieve me of the bondage of self. And all those previous wants were selfish. You know, it was all about me and getting my wants gratified. So I think the difficulties that it's really referring to is my character defects that still manifest. It's about getting clarity on how they're manifesting, you know, the harm I'm causing when they manifest, and learning to replace the defects with their opposite. You know, when I get the victory over them and the new behaviors become a habit, you know, I have experience, strength, and hope to share with my fellows. And it could also be referring to the difficulties that others are causing me, difficult people that blame or falsely accuse or don't accept responsibility. You know, when I'm able to have interactions with these difficult people and remain neutral and accepting them as they are, you know, not needing them to be different, that's a victory I can share too. And I think the bearing witness is when we're transparent with our struggles and others can identify in with us, and they can sense in their spirit that truth is being spoken. And you know, when we can confirm that the spirit is speaking the same thing to us, I think that's what bearing witness means. And I think another meaning of bearing witness is sharing our truth, telling our story, carrying the message. And thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Wendy B. from Arizona. Up next is Sharon. Please give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
It's Sharon E. from Ohio, and thank you all for your service. As I do most mornings, I write the paragraph as I'm listening to everybody set up that we're going to read. I write it down in my book so that I can kind of look at it later, and it cracked me up because this morning I got to, like she was talking about, relieve me of the bondage of self. I actually skipped over that. I wrote, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Take away my difficulties. Boom. I didn't put relieve me of the bondage of self. And then I went back. I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot that. And the interesting thing is that I had been thinking about that earlier, how it was still a character defect that I was struggling with. And I was, the writing or the lack of writing is a, you know, reiteration of the fact that I am still struggling with that. And I'm reminded that I need to give God my will daily. One of the things my sponsor said was set a timer for every hour and say, God, give me your will and take away mine. And I did that for one day. But it seemed to relieve me of something. But again, I obviously was not completely relieved, and God just showed me that. So I need to do that until I am relieved of the bondage of self. Thank you. I'll pass. Thank you all for your service.
Thanks, Sharon E. from Ohio. Up next is Joanne, followed by Roz. Joanne, please give us your initial and where you're calling from.
Good morning. Sorry I'm out of breath. I was just exercising. Joanne B. from Vermont. First time sharing on this meeting, 10 o'clock meeting. This prayer, I've been abstinent for 4 months now, and working with a sponsor and working the steps. And this prayer is something I say every day in the morning. And the thing that I'm beginning to get after listening to so many of your shares and working with my sponsor, reading, going to meetings, is this notion of God being my my boss, basically. And it's starting to kind of make sense to me, and it's starting to really work because I'm asking for that in the mornings. Relieve me of the bondage of self. And that means, you know, all the ideas that I think of other people, all the ideas that I think they're thinking of me, which they're probably not, you know, my kids and their lives and how I think things should be going. And when I start to turn that over, and I really have noticed a sense of freedom in my everyday life, it makes sense to me. And one of the things I'm learning at the ripe old age of 58 is that what other people think of me is none of my business. It's finally making sense to me. And the only person I need to show up for is God. And if I'm doing that, I don't need to worry about what I think other people are thinking or what I think I should be doing to please others, et cetera. I went through that my entire life. And to be able to just, you know, show up and do my job every day to the best of my ability, bring that energy and that power to, I'm a teacher, to like my students and my colleagues. And it's really amazing. It's pretty miraculous. And I like it. I really like it a lot. So that's all I have today. I love this meeting. Thank you so much for all of your service. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Joanne D. from Vermont. Thank you for sharing with us. Up next is Roz from Los Angeles, followed by Dawn B. Roz, please share with us.
Good morning. I'm Roz, and my last initial is G. I am in Los Angeles. I'm in Palmdale, California, and it's beautiful snowing this morning. And I've been in over. Thank you for your service. Amazing service. I've been over in Overeaters Anonymous for over 20 years, and studying the Big Book for almost that same amount of time. The first few years were not any Big Book at all. Very, very, very little. I didn't even know what the third step prayer was. But when I was finally introduced to it, this prayer has taken me through many phases of my life, especially selfishness and self-centeredness. As a single parent raising young children in school, having to sacrifice my wants, my desires of things I wanted to do to provide a home and a loving, normal as could be, life for them. And my sponsor used to say to me, enjoy your kids, have fun with your kids, when I'd be wanting to, you know, go out on a date. And she'd say to me, just enjoy your kids. And I was so pissed when she said that to me, but I'm so glad that she said that. And that I did that, and that I took them on vacations, and that I took them places, because I was getting out of myself and my difficulties, jealousy, envy, jealous of my eldest sister for all of her accomplishments and all of the boyfriends that she had and all the things she could do that I couldn't. Well, I could, but I was sick, you know. And then I finally got off my butt and went back to school and made a life for myself. Well, God made a life for me. And I had to go through difficulties with that, too, of the instructors I didn't like and the school times and having to put my kids in daycare. All of these things were getting out of myself. Today, I'm called to a higher level of service in program and my job. People around me are hard, difficult to deal with. But you know what? That doesn't matter. What matters is I have abandoned myself to God, and that means I'm called to do the service work at work, in the programs, with my family, and whatever I do, it's for God. It's not for you. And when I have that sort of an attitude that God is my employer, where we see at the top of this page, then I can do anything that He calls me to do. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Roz from Los Angeles. Thanks for sharing with us. Up next is Dawn B., followed by Liz A. But before Dawn goes, if you came on the meeting a little bit late, I'll tell you where we are. We're reading page 63, the second paragraph. We were now at step 3, reading that third step prayer, ending with, at last, abandon ourselves utterly to Him. Dawn B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. And it's such a gift to be with you on the line this morning. All these very powerful shares. Thank you to everyone who shared and for Betsy to getting us started so beautifully. This is just such a blessing. I love this paragraph. God, I offer myself to Thee to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. So I just visualize myself just relaxing and, you know, being placed into God's arms, and I just offer myself, my whole being, into your service, God. So God being the architect, I am offering myself as building material for God to use me what in however way God sees fit to build whatever God is building. So I'm no longer saying, okay, I need to be on the patio. I need to be, you know, part of the, you know, the beautiful walls and the patio. I want to be this, when in fact God might have completely different plans for me. So here I'm just surrendering myself and offering myself to be used however God plans and God's design. Relieve me of the bondage of self. So I just visualize this, you know, myself in chains. You know, the bondage of self is me thinking that I know better how life needs to be going and this should not be happening. You know, those thoughts, those ways, me trying to get my own will. So now what I'm doing is I'm surrendering and I'm saying, God, your will is my only goal. Your will is my only goal. And whatever that is, God, even if it's the last thing that I want, I accept it, I welcome it, and I say thank you. May your will be done and not mine. Your will be done, not mine. And so my job now throughout the day is to practice surrendering and turning my will and my life over to God, abandoning myself utterly to God. And so my only goal is asking for my higher power's will and the desire to carry that out. So your will is my only goal, God. And when I do that, my whole day just changes and I'm filled with peace regardless of circumstances and just surrendering. Your will is my only goal, God. Your will is my only goal. And whatever that is, I accept it. I welcome it. And I say thank you, whatever it is. And then I love that last statement, I abandon myself utterly to God. I abandon myself utterly to God. I walk and I say that statement to myself sometimes over and over, and it's just so beautiful, such a peaceful, relaxing thing to say, and it just gets me in the right frame of mind where I'm just surrendering.
Gentle
your
reminder.
Will be done, not mine. Amen. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Dawn B. Thanks for sharing. Up next is Liz A., and then I'll take a new lineup. Liz?
Good morning. This is Liz A. from Los Angeles. Thank you all for your service and for all the beautiful shares I've heard so far. When I first started doing this program through the Big Book a couple of years ago, I couldn't imagine, you know, turning my will and my life over to God. I couldn't do it. And I was told, you know what, step three is only a decision. And you know you're working your step three if you start working on your inventory, your step four. And so that's what I did to get by the third step. And but things obviously have changed since then. And my experience with this very powerful prayer is a little different, I think. I live with chronic pain. And so for me, the bondage itself is, you know, living in this pain. And at first, when I would say this prayer, I would say, God, please take away my pain. You know, and then I'll be able to be of service. But what I've learned is it's not about God taking away my pain. It's about God giving me the courage to go through my day with a different mindset about the pain and having the courage to do what I have to do for God, for my fellow man, even if I'm in pain. So that has been difficult at times, but at the same time, I find that in a weird kind of way, when I'm not thinking about the pain lessens. So it has been an incredible gift. The other part of this, which I thought was wonderful, is that it says we thought well before taking this step, you know, and abandoning ourselves utterly to him. And that to me means, God, I do not know at all what I want, what I need to do for me today. So I am giving myself over to you. I am the puppet, and you are my master. And please move my hands, arms, feet, thoughts, everything, so that I'm doing my will for you. And so I focus on not saying this prayer by rote, because it says we thought well. So I really focus on the words.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And give myself over to God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Lizzie. Thank you for sharing. Before I take the next lineup, I'll just remind everybody where we are. We are reading page 63, the second paragraph. We were now at step three, ending with, at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. And just as a reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week on any Vision for You meeting, please step back and let other voices be heard. I will now take names. Please give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from.
Pamela P. from Pennsylvania.
Agnes, I got.
Larry G.
Susan M.
Larry
G.
Pamela P. Carla.
I'm sorry, I have Agnes. I have Agnes, Larry G., Carla, and Susan M., and I may have time for one more.
Deb F., Michigan.
Who from Michigan?
Deb F.
Pennsylvania.
I'm sorry, who from Michigan?
Oh, Deb F.
Deb F. from Michigan. Okay, I've got our lineup. Thank you so much. I've got Agnes. Please give us the first initial when you share. Larry G., Carla, Susan M., and Deb F. Agnes, please share with us.
I'm so
pissed. I'm Agnes A. from California. And so I love this third step prayer. I relate to, you know, relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. And that's my meditation and my prayer, basically saying, you know, direct my steps, show me through meditation, show me through people's voices how to be a better version of what you made me to be, actually, you know, because it's that bondage of self that does get in my way of being God's of being God's tool to have his will done generally. And then I say, take away my difficulties, right? That victory over them may bear witness to those that I would help of thy power, right? So to me, that is literal. Like, I want my trials and tribulations, I want victory over them by the grace of God so that they may be a testimony of what God can do, of his power, his love, right, to people who are around me. This is what God can do. This is what I can do by God working in me. So God, this is how it works. And I'm a person of faith, so I believe that whatever problem I have, God is able to reverse and use it in his own way. I believe in miracles, not just with putting the food down, not just with being successful at work or relationships, right? God, take away all these difficulties in my life. I think the bedevilment, so to speak. So, but what I struggle with and continue to struggle with is, how do I know God's will? I say this prayer, I get confronted by circumstances, and I meditate, and I say, God, show me your will. Show me the next step. Take away that bondage of self so that I actually try to figure out, what do you want me to do next? And I listen to people, and I pray, and I read the Bible, and I meditate, And then I take the next step, knowing that even if it's a mistake, God can correct that mistake, and that God is in charge and always listening and saying, is this it? Is this what you want me to do? And knowing somehow that if selfishness is involved, if arrogance is involved, if meanness, resentment,
gentle reminder.
Any of that stuff, thank you, that it's not God's will. So that's what I struggle with. Show me your will so that I know. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Agnes A. from California. Up next is Larry G., followed by Carla. Larry, please share with us. Larry, please press star 1 to unmute. Larry G., we're not hearing you. Try again, star 1. Okay, we'll come back to Larry. Carla, are you able to share with us? Am I being heard?
Yes, you're being heard.
Thank you. Carla.
No, you are being.
Thank you. Is Carla available to share with us? Star 1 to unmute, Carla. Okay, we're going to come back to Larry and Carla. Up next is Susan M. Susan, are you able to share? Press star 1.
I am. Great. Thanks.
Thanks, Susan. Go ahead.
Yay. Hi, Susan M. from Florida. Thanks for your service. I love hearing you. And, this prayer is a really interesting one for me. You know, the whole idea of self being a bondage is big. I think I have some great ideas, and I really don't. And there's a really big difference for me between my will and God's will. And, you know, the food might be down, but I still repeat these patterns. And, you know, my husband and I have been arguing lately. Just last night I felt really disregarded. And, you know, it's all about me and feeling better. And I'm not sitting there discerning God's will. How can I be kind and loving? I had to really, really pull it together to do a 10-step. I mean, just a lot of stuff is making it really hard for me. And when I act out in my own self-will, it is like a prison. I mean, I was, like, stuck in the anger and just continues to, like, mount on itself and build, and it's just, like, what a mess, you know? So I have to be willing to pause, call a fellow, do a 10-step, and then be of service. You know, that whole cycle is really important. When I do that, I get the relief. It's, like, my spiritual aspirin, which is really, really, I don't know, such a gift of this program. And I love that my difficulties are taken away. I mean, where else can I go to find that? Like, I thought this is just about the food, you know, but it's not compartmentalized to the food. It's not just like, oh, I clean up my act, you know, I look a little bit leaner or better or whatever, and then I move on with my day. Like, my difficulties are resolved, you know, like my life starts getting better. Like, my relationships get smoother, things get easier. It's not an overnight matter. I mean, I read all the stories in the back, and, you know, people get over their addictions, but it still takes years to iron things out. And that makes sense to me. I mean, I used food for everything, you know, when I was tired, when I needed to stay awake, when I was angry, when I was sad. I mean, so it takes a long time to find new tools and start practicing new things. And it's layers, you know, but over time, thank you, higher power, you know, this stuff works. And so, I mean, I'm still praying for that help. I still have a long way to go, obviously. But it does keep getting better. And if I keep circling back to meetings and fellows and my nightly review and prayer meditation in the morning and stuff, you know, I'm promised that higher power will come in and do what he needs to do to bring the results. So really grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Susan M. from Florida. Thanks so much for sharing. Good to hear you. Larry G., are you back?
Yes, thank you for a second chance. And thank God this program is about second, third, fourth chances. My name's Larry G., and I'm from California. I've been around a long time, and I've been doing practicing this prayer. And it's the only thing that has worked in my life. Nothing else has worked. And I focus on today on the word abandon. And I know what abandon looks like. I played competitive sports, and there's times where I completely abandoned myself on the field of play, where I was just exhausted and had to have people cut off your jersey and take your shoulder pads off because you were just done. You didn't have anything more to give. And that's where I see myself practicing this sometimes. This last week, I've had a very stubborn resentment of a man in another fellowship. I feel entitled to this resentment. I feel self-righteous. I wish harm to him. You know what? And nobody cares. Nobody gives a damn whether I have this resentment or not. And we'll read later on how resentments will kill us. And so I finally, my third 10 step on this. I did the 11th step this morning. I did the third step. I'm asking God to remove this obsession, this resentment. And, I'm recovered. I've been in this fellowship for almost 3 years, and not very spiritual, right? Not a real spiritual recovered person. But there's nothing defined in the big book that says that if I have resentment, I'm not recovered. I keep getting to work at it. And I'm praying to God around this third step. I'm banning my will to you. And if you want me to continue to suffer, then I will suffer. But I will not act out. I will not open my big mouth and say something that might hurt this person or someone else. I'm not going to gossip with another 12-step member that knows this person. And you just go ahead. On your time, God, you remove it. I'm not in charge here. As painful as, it's painful. It really is painful. And these resentments will lead me to act out, to medicate myself. Or I'll get so damn angry, I'll say, it's just hell with it. Hell with vision, hell with recovery. Bring it on. Just, I'll get loaded. And selfishly, that's one of the reasons why I practice the third step prayer and why I'm doing it throughout the day to day. You know what? It's working. That's this congealed, dense resentment that I've had for years that I didn't even know I had is starting to break up. And those of you who are new, there's no requirement to do this. And this is, when you go through this step, it's not a decision we make. It is an action. And these actions,
that's
if I
a
don't
reminder.
Do the third step, has consequences. And if I do, it has consequences. And I pass. Thank you for service. I pass.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for calling back in. Glad we got you. Up next is Carla back. Carla, press star 1. Okay, it looks like maybe we lost Carla. Deb F. Deb, are you able to share with us?
Yes.
Gotcha. Go ahead. Hey. Deb, please share. Thank you.
Thank you. So this is Deb S. I'm in Michigan. And it's really quite a paragraph. I forget to read this exact paragraph. My prayers in the morning are similar to this. But I've been forgetting to read, go back to this and read it. So I love the reminders and all the shares today and just reading this prayer because this is a good one to read. I have the concepts when I talk to God, but the words are really wonderful. And I do think that when I was newer in recovery, it had a different meaning. And as I grow and been in recovery for a while and abstinent for years, it has a different meaning to me. Like in the beginning, it was, take away the difficulties, the bondage of self, which was eating, the bondage of eating this food and not being able to stop. And that was, I thought, my difficulty, I didn't realize yet because I was at step 3, all the other things that were contributing to that in terms of real difficulties. Some of the things people have been saying today are really helpful for me to hear, how should that person act? That is a difficulty of mine, thinking that I know that that person ought to be doing what they're not doing, and being playing God in that way. The thing that I was able to use this with recently, I had a situation, I had a doctor's appointment and something about the history of lining up to that. Something just hadn't gone well with the person, the staff, and anyway, all that. And I did some step work around it, and I wanted to make an amends to that one person on the staff that I felt like I was short with. So I had a plan for how I would do that, but then I said, God, cease fighting anything or anyone and take away my difficulties. And I just I used this third step prayer, but not exactly these words, but I used this idea of take away the bondage of self, that I know how to do this. And that I, that, you know, because Deb's way would be to go in with punching bags, you know, here, this is what I said, this is what you said, why did that happen? That would be, you know, judge and jury, and that is not useful, it is not helpful. And I just asked God to please take away this situation, to please go ahead of me and heal this and show me what actions I needed to take. And I trusted and believed that God would do that, and that I didn't need to go in like that, that I would go in a different way and trust that God would show me the path for the communication and what to do. And it was almost like magic, really, just how perfect things worked out. And I'm so grateful to not have gone in with the Deb boxing gloves. Now, I have a situation that's also resentment that I feel, and I'm going to talk to a friend in the program about it tonight, and it's been good to hear people sharing about that. And I know that this is a lesson God wants me to learn, so I'm going to be doing the same kind of step work around that resentment and all of that, staying abstinent, of course, through all of it. I pass. Thank you all for letting me share.
Thanks, Deb F. Thanks for sharing with us. It looks like we have time for one more two-minute share. We are on page 63. We are now at step
three.
Hi,
Linda R.
Linda R. You got 2 minutes. Thanks, Linda.
Okay, thanks so much for your service on the line. It's a wonderful conversation. You know, I love the third step prayer. You know, God, I offer myself to thee. You know, I just, you know, for me, step one, you know, I'm powerless. I admit my powerlessness, my unmanageability. Then I came to believe in my own personal higher power. And now with the third step prayer, for me, the victory over those who bear witness. Because of my program of depth and weight, thank you, dear God, working these steps on a daily basis for many years, I have victory, you know, I'm victorious, and that I can spiral my recovered life into the community and into my, you know, when I'm sponsoring and I'm giving back in my life, not just in program. So it's like those who bear witness, I can be of maximum service. So that's really what I'm getting from the third step prayer in my life today. And, you know, offer myself, like, who was myself? If I didn't come into program, I would have never discovered who Linda is, you know, because of my ego deflation. I'm able to be humble today and really work a program of depth and weight. So thanks for allowing me to have a share today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you so much. That just about closes us out, so I think we're going to end the meeting here. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.